Somehow the blunt way she addressed it made me want to tell her. Yeah, I'm supposed to open the door to his truck once a day. Just open it, not get in or drive it or anything, and I can't manage to do it. Why not? She pulled into a small parking lot on the inlet side of the island. Probably because the last time I opened it, Jackson had a front row seat to an epic anxiety attack. I'm not too eager to undo all the progress I've made and risk that happening again. I nearly high-fived myself for analyzing my own motives pretty successfully. She parked, then turned toward me. Which part? The attack or Jax seeing it? Also, it's adorable that you call him Jackson. I laughed off the last comment. Both? I guess. I knew better than to try it again, honestly. Sam only left for the weekend because her husband's family asked her to come up for dinner, and I refused to go with her. She told me to give it a day and we'd try again when she gets back on Sunday, but I just stood there in front of that truck for an hour and a half after she left. So, basically you had a free homework pass and tried anyway. Stupid, right? I laughed again, forcing the sound out. Brave. It tells me you're serious about getting past whatever is holding you back. She killed the ignition. And the fact that I just stood there staring? That just makes you human. Now, are you done beating the shit out of yourself? Because this is a really cool class. Well, you kind of take the fun out of it. This time when my lips lifted, the small smile was genuine. We got out of the car and walked through the parking lot. I'm just glad you were lost in your own little world. I was kind of scared you'd stood me up because of Jax, Christina said, adjusting her beach bag on her shoulder. I was afraid you were having second thoughts or something and didn't want to see me because we're friends. Jackson? I nearly tripped over my flip-flops. You guys are going out tomorrow night, right? She did a double take at my face and then sputtered, Sorry, the guys at the station are pretty much a high school gossip club. Everyone knows everything. We're not dating or anything, I assured her, just like I had myself about 14 billion times since he asked me last weekend. We're just sightseeing. It would be okay if you were. You know that, right? Right. But we're not. I shook my head emphatically. She raised her eyebrows but didn't argue as we walked down the wooden steps to the beach where our class of about half a dozen women waited. With paddle boards? Christina, consider it the American Ninja Warrior of yoga. Our feet hit the sand and I shook my head. I'm more on the chair aerobics level. I brought up my hands to show her my awesome synchronized finger push-ups. Push your comfort zone. Let's go. No excuses. No option to back down. She firmly expected me to haul my uncoordinated butt up onto that paddleboard and do yoga on the water. And what happens when I fall off? Because that's definitely going to happen. I picked up the unclaimed board next to where Christina claimed hers, grateful that I'd put on the wetsuit. You can swim, right? Well, yeah. Then you get wet, she shrugged. You can stay on shore the same way you could have stayed in bed this morning. It's your choice. No one can decide to start living for you, Morgan. She dropped her yoga pants and kicked off her sandals. I was living, right? I'd bought a house, was remodeling said house, and had managed to make friends with Jackson, Finley, and now Christina. Sure, maybe my outlook was still a little gray, but now my days had blocks of sunshine peering through the space that had only been dark before. Blocks of sunshine that had a lot to do with the guy I wasn't going on a date with tomorrow night. It was a sightseeing trip with a friend. Uh-huh. Kicking off my flip-flops, I wiggled my toes, feeling every nuance of the damp sand from its slight chill to the grit against my skin I knew would wear away the rougher edges of my feet if I walked far enough. Not abrasive as much as it was refining, comforting as it molded to my arches. I couldn't manage to open the truck door. I had weeks to go in this therapy that felt more like torture than healing. Will was dead, but I wasn't. Maybe it was time I started acting like it more than just the times Jackson dragged me out of the house. It wasn't just one big choice. It was 1,000 tiny ones just like this, just like saying yes to Jackson. I dropped my reservations and my pants on shore, then headed into the water with the board tucked under my arm and the ankle leash firmly secured, thanks to Christina. I managed to climb up onto my board in the hip-deep water with the rest of the class and thanked my lucky stars that we weren't on the ocean side of the island. Then I fell off. More than once. But I'll be damned if I didn't haul myself back up on that board every single time. This is not a date. This is not a date. This is not a date. I mentally repeated the phrase as I headed to answer my front door. Just because I had on a sundress and a little matching sweater didn't make it a date. A date would have meant heels. And my toes were currently cocooned in a pair of sensible but cute ballet flats. Maybe I'd shaved my legs, but that didn't make it a date either. Neither did my makeup or the fact that I'd taken the time to curl my hair. Those small acts had been my own affirmations of life. They had nothing to do with the man who'd rung my doorbell a few seconds ago. I exhaled slowly as I reached for the door handle, then took a fresh breath, pasted on a smile, and opened the door. Oh, shit. He had that whole beach casual vibe going on, and he made it look good. Really damn good. His hair had that messy, ran my fingers through it style, and he'd rolled up the sleeves of his white button-down shirt over a pair of dark blue cargo shorts. But it was his smile that seemed to stutter my heart. Wow. Morgan, you look incredible. Maybe it was the deep timbre of his voice, or the way his gaze warmed my skin as he glanced over me in the same way I'd just done to him. But suddenly, this felt very much like a date. Thank you, I managed to reply. You look great too. That was absolutely an understatement. The man looked edible. Thanks. His smile widened. You ready?
You betcha.
You betcha? Oh, God. Did I really just say that? Where the hell was the charm I'd been known for? The quick, flirting smile? He didn't seem to notice that I'd answered him like an 85-year-old grandfather, and a couple of minutes later, we were strapped into his Land Cruiser, heading south. So what exactly are you planning to show me in the dark? I asked. Then mentally cursed myself again. You know, where we can't see anything? Stop! You're making it so much worse. He tossed a grin my way, then peered up through the windshield. It's a clear night and a full moon. It's a good night for climbing, wouldn't you say, Kitty? I scoffed. I'm not exactly dressed for mountaineering, Jackson. He slowed, pulling into the park. Good, because we don't exactly have any mountains around here. A turn later and my jaw dropped. But we do have lighthouses, he said as he parked the car. I stepped out into the parking lot, looking up and up and up at the black and white paint twisting its way up the enormous tower. This thing was colossal. It's the tallest brick lighthouse in the United States, Jackson noted as he shut his door. Then came around to my side and shut mine since I'd been too busy gaping. And we're going to climb it? I swore to God, if that man busted out a climbing harness and rope, I was going to... We're going to climb the stairs inside it. And they let you do that at 9 o'clock on a Saturday night? He laughed, sending a wave of flutters through my stomach. Starting next month, they'll do full moon tours. But tonight it's just you and me. Come on. He motioned toward the sidewalk that led to the lighthouse, and we walked down the moonlit path. Hey, Jax. A tall, heavy man with a thick black beard and wearing a uniform stepped out of the doorway as we approached. John, thanks for letting us in, Jackson said as he shook the man's hand. No problem. I owe you a hell of a lot more than a little late-night access. You going to introduce me to your girl? He turned a kind smile on me.
Oh, I'm not his girl. She's not my girl.
We spoke at the same time, then let the awkwardness speak for itself.
Right.
He glanced between us.
Okay, well, the stairwell lights are on, but the deck lights are off, so you two be careful.
We assured him we would be, and then walked into the lighthouse. I took in the spiral staircase and shook my head. What exactly does John owe you for, anyway? Jackson's jaw flexed before he answered.
I got his brother out of a tight spot once. Nothing big.
The way he looked away told me otherwise. You have a thing for saving people, don't you? Like me?
You have no idea.
He answered quietly, staring up the center of the staircase. Okay, tour guide? I said as my foot hit the first metal step. Time to start guiding.
I promise it's worth it.
He swore as we started to climb.
It's 31 steps between each landing for a total of 257 steps, he recited, beginning my evening history lesson.
I fell into the rhythm of my feet and the cadence of his voice as he told me all about why it had been constructed in the 1800s. The graveyard of the Atlantic? I questioned. Don't you think that's a little extreme? My breathing grew labored, and I noted with more than a little awe and annoyance that his didn't. No, sir, he was still breathing deep and even. How in the blazing hell? Did he spend an hour on the Stairmaster every day?
I'll show you,
he promised.
This is the last stretch of stairs before the top.
You mean this eventually ends? I teased with mock wonder. He shook his head, but there was laughter in those blue eyes.
Yeah, yeah, keep climbing, kitty.
Don't you ever do anything for fun that doesn't burn 1,000 calories?
What do you mean? Come walk the beach, Morgan. My voice lowered in an awful Jackson impression. Come surfing, Morgan. Look, there's yoga to learn, Morgan.
His laugh echoed through the brick structure.
Why not let's see a movie, Morgan, or my personal favorite, let's order in and watch Netflix, Morgan.
We finally reached a landing with a door, and I turned toward him as he stepped up beside me, drawing my eyes upward again.
Hmm?
I asked, lifting an eyebrow.
I will order in with you whenever you want.
His gaze dropped to my lips. And the temperature in the lighthouse rose, or maybe that was just my own body.
I'll even let you pick what we do next time.
Next time. I swallowed, trying to find the levity we'd had just seconds ago. I hope you're up for a fun night of reading on the couch, I teased.
I'll come read with you,
he offered in what had to be the sexiest voice imaginable. Hell, that was the sexiest line imaginable.
What book are you spending your nights with?
I just finished Mrs. Dalloway and I'm on to Orlando now. I'm on a bit of a Virginia Woolf kick.
Go figure. You're a classics kind of girl.
He grinned.
You almost had me fooled, thinking you were all about night hikes.
He joked. I scoffed. I'm not exactly an outdoor kind of girl, you know. At least I hadn't been.
With all the shell hunting, beach walking, and yoga and surfing, you could have fooled me.
The old me preferred pedicures to four-wheeling, and the only things I hunted on the beach were boys and a tan. Oh, and the occasional jet ski trip. My shoulders lifted in a shrug.
The old you, huh?
He took a few steps to my right and reached for the door handle. Yep, she even came with a quick smile and a sharp little tongue when the occasion called for it. That was a whole other life. A whole other girl. But the girl I was tonight didn't feel too bad either.
You still have those things. Trust me. And I happen to like whatever version of you this is just fine. In fact, I have yet to see any version of you I don't like. They're all just you.
The sincerity in his eyes stripped away another layer of my defenses, but I didn't feel raw or exposed. I felt seen, which was oddly comforting in a way I really didn't want to examine at the moment. Thank you. So are you going to open that door, or was this hike just for fun? He stepped to the side and opened the door with a flourish.
After you.
I stepped onto the deck, and my hair went wild, flying varying directions in the soft breeze that whipped at me from the ocean. I fisted the strands in one hand and the hem of my dress in the other as Jackson came through the door behind me and shut it. We stood on a circular deck just below the top of the lighthouse, where a light rotated in a steady rhythm at least 10 feet above our heads. His wide grin had me questioning his sanity.
You look just like you did when I first saw you.
Oh, I said softly. He remembered the beach that well.
Here.
He came close enough that I felt the heat of his skin as his arms reached around me, replacing my hands with his.
Now you can grab a hair tie if you want.
What makes you think I have a hair tie? I arched a brow, refusing to give in to how damned handsome the man looked in the moonlight.
Don't all women keep a hair tie in their purse?
He nodded toward mine, which I'd slung diagonally over my shoulder. I'm not sure there's anything that all women do, I retorted, knowing full well that I had a tie in my bag. But common sense prevailed, and I surrendered my hair and hem to him, then reached for my handbag. My cheek brushed his bare forearm when I turned my head, and I muttered an apology as I quickly found the tie and restrained my hair in a quick bun. Jackson won another point when he didn't mention that I had indeed had a tie, as he'd assumed. Instead, he took hold of my shoulders and turned me slowly, so I faced the ocean.
Worth the hike.
My breath caught, and I moved forward to lean against the cool metal railing, hoping it was enough to keep my skirt from flying up over my underwear. These were definitely a step up from my Hello Kitties, and I wasn't exactly ready to show them off. It's beautiful, I said, unsure if the wind made it too hard for Jackson to hear. The full moon played off the waves in the distance, streaking a path of white across the water that led straight to the beach, illuminating the coastline in a blend of light and shadows, softening the dramatic landscape.
Hmm?
Jackson questioned as he came up behind me, his head over my shoulder. I said, "It's beautiful." My mind drew a blank as I struggled to think about anything besides how close he was. Now, there were merely inches, if that, between us, torturous yet necessary. Those inches were all that kept the flutters in my stomach from turning into something far more potent and dangerous.
Yeah, it sure is.
I tilted my head slightly, and his lips brushed my ear. Air rushed into my lungs as that tiny, accidental caress sent shimmers of unexpected pleasure down my spine.
Do you see that?
He reached across my shoulder with a pointed finger. The waves? I looked out to the ocean, following the path he'd given me.
This is where the cold Labrador current meets the warm Gulf Stream. It makes the shoals shift in unpredictable ways that can cause ships to wreck.
His voice was soft in my ear, his lips close, but not touching me. How many do you think have been wrecked over the years? The waves seemed almost harmless in the distance.
The experts around here estimate about 2,000.
The graveyard of the Atlantic, I remembered, watching the waves. So beautiful, yet so dangerous. You think there are still shipwrecks happening out there?
Right now. I hope not. But yeah, they happen around here more than we'd like. That's for sure.
He dropped his arm and moved so he stood beside me, both of our hands on the railing. His clenched the metal as he took what looked to be a steadying breath. It seems almost foolish, doesn't it? To know how dangerous the water is and still choose to sail it? That seems like the definition of insanity to me. Once something shows you how deadly it can be, I choose to believe it and steer clear. The wind swept over the backs of my thighs, and I immediately missed the heat of him while simultaneously cursing my decision to wear a dress. Pain flickered across his features.
and my stomach lurched. I'd touched a nerve somehow. He caught me watching him and forced a sad smile.
Sorry, my mind drifted. My parents died in a boating accident when I was 17.
Oh God, Jackson, I'm so sorry. My stomach halted its lurch and just plain plummeted as my hand covered his. I didn't even have words to cover my utter insensitivity. 17. He'd been so young.
Don't be. You didn't know.
He looked back over the water as his fingers splayed on the railing. Mine fell into the gaps, and he tightened slightly, leaving our fingers laced.
Dad knew the waters really damn well, but the weather came in faster than forecasted, and
he exhaled slowly.
I lost them both off the coast of Maine.
The thing about the ocean is she can lull you into thinking you're her equal.
You understand her tides, her waves, her currents, and you begin to feel like your partners, as though the love you feel for her is somehow returned.
Love, huh? I questioned softly, wondering if that's what had driven him to study oceanography. Where I had avoided everything that reminded me of my loss, he'd embraced and examined the very thing that killed his parents. Had that exorcised the demons of his grief, or was I the only one who had those?
Love,
he confirmed.
Being out there on the water is as life-affirming to some people as sex is to others. The ocean is in their soul, and you're right. Maybe it's a little bit of insanity that brings people out on those waters in particular.
He nodded toward the divergence of the two currents in front of us.
But from what I've seen, the only emotions that overpower our own sense of self-preservation are obsession and love. And the ocean is both for a lot of people. They fuck up when they forget that she's too deep, too stubborn, and too powerful to love you back. There's never a partnership because she's always in control.
I'm so sorry you lost them. It was all I could think to say. It was the only thing I'd ever wanted to hear, so maybe it was the same for him. His fingers tightened around mine in a reassuring squeeze.
Thanks. They would have really liked you, and they would have been utterly wrapped around Finley's finger.
I made a mental note to call Mama tomorrow, and absorbed his words quietly as a comfortable silence fell over us. The ocean looked exactly as he described, inky black under the night sky, breathtakingly beautiful and wickedly powerful. His thumb moved, stroking the edge of my pinky in an absent-minded pattern. It was soothing, comforting, even, and I had no desire to pull away or put distance between us. Holy shit, I liked the way he touched me. I liked way more than that about him, if I was being honest with myself. Sure, I liked the way he looked, but there wasn't much to not like. His profile was strong, his chin carved and nose straight with a slight bump that made me wonder if he'd broken it once, and his lips somehow managed to look hard and deliciously soft at the same time. I'd seen enough of his body to know what was under that shirt, and the simple memory of him jogging toward me on the beach sent a flash of heat through my veins, strong enough to kick up my pulse. He turned his head, looking down the beach, and I mentally sent up a prayer of thanks that he hadn't caught me staring at him or turned those eyes on me. I swung my face the opposite direction, and found a thick strip of scarred land that ran between the lighthouse and our own homes. What's that from? I pointed with my free hand so I wouldn't have to let go of his. He followed my gaze, still stroking that swirling pattern on my skin.
That's the path from when they moved the lighthouse.
They what? No way. This lighthouse? My jaw dropped. This thing was huge. And they moved it?
This lighthouse,
he confirmed, a corner of his mouth lifting in clear amusement at my disbelief.
A little over 20 years ago, they moved it from there,
he gestured a little north where the path ended at the beach,
to here. It was the only thing they could do to save it.
Save it? From what? Men who mislead unsuspecting women, expecting a little sightseeing and get a Stairmaster instead? I raised my eyebrows and he laughed. Flirting. Oh, my stars, I was flirting, and it felt great. My heart stuttered a beat in the best possible way, and I outright smiled, reveling in both the emotion and my ability to feel it. Jackson's eyes flared, darting between my lips and my eyes before he shook his head slightly and blinked. The ocean, he replied in a voice that sounded like it had been scraped over sandpaper. They had to save it from the ocean, because the shoreline changes so much. Exactly. Those eyes. Even in the moonlight, when I couldn't see every shade of blue that made them so irresistible, they turned my knees to jello. Or maybe that was just Jackson in general if I was still on that honest with myself kick. I looked back to the path. How far did they move it? Man, I'm glad I studied for this date. He laughed. 2,900 feet. I didn't cringe at the word date. How on earth do you move something this big? Just like you take on any huge project, one tiny step at a time. It took them 23 days and a hell of a lot of engineering. Did they take it apart and rebuild it? I leaned over a little, taking in the distance to the ground and hoping it was the dizzying height that had my heart strumming faster. God, what was wrong with me? I'd been around Jackson plenty of times and never had such a schoolgirl reaction. You've never been completely alone with him before. There had always been Finley or Sam or an entire barbecue's worth of people around us. No, they left it intact. Impossible, he laughed. Why? Look at this thing. It's huge, I gawked up at him. Don't forget old. Almost 150 years. He added, turning his body toward mine. Told you I studied. Like we were a pair of magnets, I moved to face him, our hands fallen from the railing but staying twined. With his free hand, he stroked the back of his fingers down my cheek, slowly. But she's also too important, too unique, and too beautiful to stand by and do nothing while she drowns. While she might look delicate, she's actually incredibly strong and capable of taking a storm or two. I stilled, knowing that he'd stopped talking about the lighthouse. Jackson, I begged, but I wasn't sure what for. Morgan. His fingers slid to the back of my neck while his thumb repeated the stroke across my cheek. God, that felt good. A rush of longing filled my entire body, stirring parts of me I was sure had long since died, the parts that remembered need, want, and desire, the parts that remembered how it felt to be the object of someone else's desire too. And those neglected pieces of me hungered as they roused, demanding to be acknowledged and appeased. I fought to find a shred of my common sense amid the onslaught of pure, selfish craving that had me staring at his mouth. You don't want this, I told him softly, my Jacksonless hand clutching the railing as if it would keep me grounded. I don't want what? He questioned, lowering his head until our foreheads touched. Because you can't tell me that I don't want you. Oh, God. Joy. Disbelief, yearning. Emotions flew at me so fast I could barely process them, but one stood out the loudest. Fear. Was it fear for him or fear of him? Yes. You don't. You can't. I'm a mess, and not just a little mess. I'm the kind that has a pile of wreckage for a heart, anxiety attacks I can't control, and a therapist I see every week in the hopes that I can eventually talk to my best friend again or just open the door of a truck I never wanted. My eyes squeezed shut. Trust me, you don't want this. You don't want me. Morgan. No. I retreated from his arms and my skin ached at the loss of contact. Was I so desperate for human touch? Just Jackson's.
I'm not being coy or playing games, which is ironic since I used to be really good at all that. I'm genuinely telling you to run for your life. From you. The skin between his eyebrows wrinkled, and I was struck with a ridiculous urge to smooth it with my fingers. Yes! His jaw ticked, and his eyes turned fierce, pinning me to the lighthouse deck with the force of his stare. Morgan, you don't get to tell me what I want any more than I get to dictate your feelings. I blinked, admitting the undeniable logic of his statement. That's fair. If you don't want to start something with me, then that's your choice, and I'll respect it, no matter how badly I want to convince you otherwise. Thank you. Crap, was that a twinge of disappointment that lowered my shoulders? His head tilted back as his chest rose and fell with a deep breath, as if he was the one struggling for control, not me. When he met my gaze again, I held my breath. What the hell did I really want? To press pause on this moment, call Sam and get her take on it, and then press play again so I know what I'm supposed to be feeling. Like that was going to happen. I know about the anxiety attacks. Remember, I was there for one, he stated simply, like we were talking about what we'd had for lunch. I'm glad you have a therapist, because I'm well aware that you're working through something that you're not ready to let me in on, and that's okay. You don't exactly know everything about me, either. And chances are, the more you know, the more you'll think you're the one who should run. He didn't move a muscle, but the way he looked at me felt like a caress all the same. In fact, I know you'll be the one running. From you? I scoffed. You're the most together person I know. Even if he was still pining for his ex, but who was I to judge? Then you should meet more people. He cocked an eyebrow at me. Morgan, I like you. And I don't just mean as my neighbor. I want you in a way that keeps me up at night, mentally calculating the steps between my door and yours. I want you so badly that I barely stop myself from taking those steps every single night. I've no problem owning my feelings about you. And while I'm not going to push you for something when you obviously don't feel the same, my jaw dropped. I never said I don't want you. I damn well think you deserve to know that you might preach you're a mess. But I think you're pretty fucking perfect. Wreckage and all. Every protest died on my tongue at the tangible sincerity in his voice. Are you struggling? He started again. Yeah, that's obvious. But God, you're a fighter. Even if you don't see it. You had the courage to pick up your whole life and move because you knew you needed a fresh start. You might not be able to open that truck door, but you didn't just dump it in some storage lot and run. That shit is in your front yard where you choose to confront it every day. You push your boundaries, whether it's on a surfboard or letting me drag you to a barbecue. You have loyal friends, which means you're pretty damn loyal yourself. And when death came flying at you in the form of the weather vane that time forgot, your first instinct was to protect my daughter, which is enough to make me fall at your feet without the fact that you're the most exquisite woman I've ever laid eyes on, which you are. He lifted that eyebrow in challenge again. My lips parted, and the butterflies in my stomach fluttered so fast, the friction warmed me from the inside out. Even as they threatened to turn to flame and catch my body on fire, he actually wanted me. He saw the mess and wanted me anyway. Somehow finding beauty in everything I called wreckage. Damn it, I didn't want it to be wreckage anymore. I wanted to be whole again. I wanted to have something to offer this man who took me hiking in the moonlight and pulled me away from my own shadows with his light. My breath abandoned me as the realization hit. He made me want to live. Not just survive and hope for the best. He'd reignited that spark within me from the moment I'd felt that flare of attraction on the beach and the care he'd taken when rescuing me from my own staircase. That spark grew every time he made me laugh or smile or roll my eyes. It thrived when I made plans with him, finally willing to look forward in my life. I might have been doing the work in therapy, but there was no denying that Sam was right. Jackson had become my reward for learning to live again.
Don't look at me like that. He raked his hand over his hair. You're gorgeous. And that's not even close to being the best part about you. Every time you let me into that head of yours, I feel like the luckiest asshole on the planet. And there's nothing I've found that would make me want you any less. God, everything about you pulls me in closer without even trying. Like I said, I can own that. And sure, the way I feel about you scares the shit out of me. But that's what tells me it's real. So yeah, I'll respect your lack of feelings because I feel way too much. But please don't tell me that I can't want you. Because I do. And I'm sure of this enough to wait until you're in a place to see just how amazing you... I stopped his words with my lips.
Chapter 11. Jackson. 1 second I was laying into the woman about how incredible she was, and the next she was pressed against me with her mouth on mine. I lost a heartbeat or two in shock, but I got with the program in the next breath. I wrapped an arm around her waist and cradled the nape of her neck with the other. Morgan, I whispered against her lips in question. Kiss me, Jackson, she demanded, looping her arms around my neck. The words struck me like a match to a pile of kindling, the flame instant and consuming. I locked down the need pounding through my veins and kissed her gently, savoring her quick intake of breath and the way she rose against me for more. I was not going to fuck this up by moving too fast. I'd keep up these light, sipping kisses all night if that kept her in my arms. Sound plan. Take it slow. She swept her tongue over my lower lip, then gently tugged it between her teeth. Fuck the plan. I kissed her deep, sinking my tongue between her parted lips with a groan I couldn't contain. She tasted sweeter than I could have imagined, citrus with a hint of vanilla on her lips. Her arms tightened around me and I tilted her head slightly so I could sink into her mouth over and over, learning every curve and line as her tongue rubbed and swirled around mine. More. I wanted more. I wanted to kiss her until neither of us could remember any kiss that came before this one. My fingers flexed at her waist, holding her tight as our mouths moved together like we'd been kissing for years, not minutes. She fit perfectly against me, soft and curved everywhere I wasn't. My hand slid into her hair as the back of her dress whipped at my arm in the wind. Do not think about what's under it. She gasped as another gust lifted the fabric, but she dove back into the kiss, her tongue darting into my mouth with little flicks that drove my need for her higher and wound me tighter. I lowered my arm over the curve of her ass and lifted, keeping my fingers splayed on her hip as I pivoted and took 3 steps, putting her back against the lighthouse so I could use my body to shelter her from the wind. Her eyes flared at the contact, and I rested my forehead against hers as our breaths became choppy and harsh. Fuck me. How was I ever going to stop kissing her? She was one of those drugs you were never supposed to experiment with. One hit and I was addicted. Too much? I asked, my voice rough as I lowered her feet to the deck. She shook her head slowly, then ran her tongue over her lower lip. Not enough. Her knee rose against the outside of my thigh. I muttered a curse, then filled my hands with her ass and picked her up the way I'd wanted to since the moment I'd found those curves dangling in my face. Her long legs wrapped around my waist, her ankles locking at the small of my back as I brought my mouth to hers. She whimpered, one of her hands in my hair and the other holding the nape of my neck like I was a prisoner instead of a more than willing participant. The sound didn't help the current situation in my shorts, and I didn't honestly care. I kissed her deeper just so I could hear it again. She ripped her mouth from mine and tilted her head back as she gasped for a breath. I moved to her neck, kissing a path down the slender, soft column, and pausing to suck gently at the spots that made her grip tighten. Jackson, she moaned when I reached the sensitive spot beneath her ear. I rocked against her instinctively, then stilled, letting my breath release slowly as I counted to 5. The woman had me dancing on the edge of my self-control. I could have blamed it on my months of celibacy, but it was simply Morgan. Everything about her turned me on, and getting her in my hands and under my mouth robbed me of every logical thought, which wasn't good for either of us. I had to slow this down before we went too far. She brushed her lips over my cheek and tightened her thighs at my waist as she made her way back to my mouth. I groaned in surrender as I kissed her breathless, living for the caress of her tongue against mine. Fuck, I could feel the heat of her skin through the fabric of her dress. If I shifted my grip, I could slide my hand up her bare thigh. Stop. You can't take this any further. I mentally swatted my conscience when she rocked her hips over mine with a little moan. We were going to be so damned good together. I'd give her as many orgasms as her body could take, and then start all over again, only stopping when she was just as addicted to me as I already was to her. I'd be whatever she needed. You're the opposite of what she needs, and you know it. I stilled against her mouth. She didn't know. I had dumped my feelings all over her without offering her the one truth that would give her the information she really needed. I sent up a prayer that this wouldn't be the only time I kissed Morgan. Then I fought my own instincts and slowed the tempo, gentling my mouth even as she whimpered in protest. "We should go," I said against her lips, then gave her one last soft, lingering kiss before easing her legs from my waist. My body was never going to forgive me, but I'd never forgive myself if I let this happen under false pretense. "Okay." She blinked at me slowly, her eyes hazy with the same desire that pumped through my veins and had me harder than stone at her back. Once her feet reached the ground, I took her hand in mine and led her back into the lighthouse, shutting the door after us. "Ready to head down?" I asked, trying to breathe steadily and failing miserably. She nodded, her chest rising and falling just as erratically as mine. I walked down ahead of her just in case she stumbled, her fingers laced with mine as I held her hand awkwardly behind my back. Unless my shoulder dislocated, I wasn't letting go. I used every single one of those 257 steps to formulate a plan, to come up with a way to phrase the truth of what I did for a living so she wouldn't run. By the time we reached the ground, my breathing had evened out, but my mind was blank. We thanked John for letting us up into the lighthouse after hours and walked back along the sidewalk to the parking lot. "Thank you," she said with a little sigh, smiling up at me. "That really was worth the hike." "My pleasure." I tried to smile, but it came out weirdly enough that Morgan's brows knit. "What's wrong?" she asked as we approached the car. I tried to answer, but the words just weren't there. She'd been brave enough to lay her shit out. Well, everything but the cause of her anxiety attacks, and here I was fumbling for an explanation. She raised her eyebrows at me when I opened her door, but she got in without protest. I slid behind the wheel and fired up the ignition, then slowly pulled out of the lot. "Did I do something wrong?" Her voice trembled on the last word in a way that broke my fucking heart. "No, God, no. You're perfect. That was perfect. Kissing you is..." I shook my head as we drove out of the park. "Perfect," she guessed, but her smile was shaky. "More than. But I didn't plan on that happening." My left hand gripped the wheel as my right reached for hers. "Right," she replied with a touch of ice, retracting her hand and placing it in her lap. The move was a direct gut punch, and I more than deserved it. "What do you mean, right?" She shrugged, staring out the windshield. "I mean, I'm sure you didn't plan on me basically jumping on you and kissing you like that. I'm sorry." "You're sorry?" I snapped in surprise, my gaze jerking toward hers as much as possible while still keeping my eyes on the road. "Why the hell would you be sorry?"
"Because it's obviously not something you wanted," she exclaimed with a sharp note of self-loathing.
"Trust me, it's definitely something I wanted, something I still want." I was tempted to put her hand on my dick to prove just how much want there actually was. "There's just something you need to know about me first, and I was going to tell you tonight."
"I already know you're still in love with your ex."
"What? Hell no.
I pulled off the pavement, turning onto one of the many dirt roads that led to the beach, and putting the car in park so I could turn to face her. This wouldn't wait the 5 minutes it would take to drive us home. I'm not in love with Claire, no fucking way. Just the thought spiked my blood pressure. Her face puckered with confusion.
You're not?
No.
Then what could I possibly need to know before a kiss?
She fired back.
Are you a murderer?
No, I scoffed.
A kidnapper? Rapist? Do you have 3 other wives spread around the United States?
She shrugged in obvious frustration. I don't have a single wife, let alone 3.
Then what?
I'm a pilot. Shit. 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 It fell out of my mouth so carelessly that I wanted to suck it back in, hit rewind on this moment and do it all again. She stilled completely. No blinks, no cursing me out, no glares, nothing. I wasn't even sure she was breathing. I sure wasn't.
You said you were in the Coast Guard,
she accused softly, still staring at me in what I assumed had to be shock. I am, I assured her, leaning on the console between us. I'm a search and rescue pilot for the Coast Guard. Her eyes flared, not in fear, but with stark, palpable terror.
Helicopters,
she finally whispered. Helicopters, I confirmed, swallowing the rising knot in my throat. This wasn't how I wanted to tell you. I was going to explain why I chose my career and take me home. The demand was icy and flat as she turned away from me. Morgan, please, let me explain. My mind scrambled with panic. If I could just get her to listen, then she'd understand, right? She opened the door. Where are you going? I reached for her elbow. She turned just enough to glare at my fingers on her sweater. I removed them immediately. Fuck, this wasn't going well.
If you won't take me home, I'll walk. I can see the lighthouse from my deck, which means if I take this trail, the beach will lead me home.
She paused, her hand lingering on the handle. I'll take you home. She shut the door, then stared at the windshield as I put the car in reverse. Something I wished I could do with the last 5 minutes of my life. We pulled onto the pavement and I headed toward our houses. The silence between us wasn't just tense, it was sharp enough to draw blood or break hearts. I had to fix this. She wasn't just a friend or the woman who lived next door. I cared about her, and I wasn't willing to let whatever this was between us go without a fight. Fuck that. A battle. I put my mental armor on and prepared to go to war against her past in the hopes that she'd give me a chance for a future. When my parents died, I began.
No, she shook her head. You don't get to speak. You lied to me.
I never told you I wasn't a pilot. I turned onto our streets.
Semantics don't make you honest, Jackson, she snapped.
When faced with which driveway to pull into, I chose mine, hoping it would give me more time. I get that. And you're right, I should have told you sooner, but I knew you'd react just like this. I put the car in park. And I wanted you to know me, not just what I did, before we had this Morgan! She was already out of the car. I killed the ignition and took off after her, catching up midway between our yards. Please, just give me a chance to explain. She spun around and stuck her finger in my face.
You've had all the time in the world to do that, and you chose not to.
I barely managed to stop my momentum quickly enough to keep from running her over, and then she was off again, striding toward her house. Kitty, come on! How the hell was I supposed to get her to understand if she wouldn't even listen? I chased after her like the desperate fool I was.
Oh no,
she threw over her shoulder as she reached her steps.
You don't get to call me that, never again!
She marched up 2 of the steps and then paused, going still as a statue. My feet froze to the very sand beneath them. I knew an approaching storm when I saw one, and she was a Cat 5 hurricane spinning just off my coast. Her shoulders rose slightly, and then she turned on her steps and advanced toward me. She was a storm, all right, and I wasn't sure I'd be standing after she released all the wrath in those eyes.
You knew!
She flung the accusation from a few feet away, planting her feet and crossing her arms. I swallowed.
You knew I would shut you out the moment you told me you were a damned flyboy.
Yes, this had just gotten so much worse for me.
You know what happened, don't you?
She seethed, her jaw clenching. Fuck. My eyes closed momentarily with the realization that I'd lost this battle long before I'd come clean in the car. I took a deep, fortifying breath and found her staring at me with the kind of loathing that only broken trust could evoke. "I know what happened to Will," I admitted. She blanched, her eyes flying wide, then narrowing. "Don't ever say his name," she cried, that finger coming at me again. "You don't have the right." Okay. This was so far beyond bad that my stomach took up permanent residence in my feet. "How dare you bring him into this?" Her finger trembled. "Morgan, he's already in this." She flinched and lowered her arm. "Who told you what happened? I know it wasn't Sam. She wouldn't do that to me." "No one told me." I shifted my weight, hoping the motion would appease my need to cross the distance between us and hold her. It didn't. "I saw the wings that day you had me get the registration out of the truck, and the name on those dog tags hanging from the mirror is the same one on the registration."
"And you what? Googled him?"
she fired back. "Pretty much." My lips pressed in a thin line as I nodded, knowing the gathering fire in her eyes was about to come right for me.
"How dare you?"
Her hands dropped to form fists at her sides. "I'm sorry, I know I shouldn't have. But you just had that anxiety attack and...
And you decided that my past was up for investigation? You wanted to see what had turned me into a neurotic shell of who I used to be?"
she cried. "I wanted to solve a mystery that I knew you wouldn't explain. And I don't think you're neurotic. I think you went through something that you're still recovering from." I tucked my hands into my pockets.
"If a woman doesn't want to tell you about the fucked up past that she's barely survived, then you don't go searching for it, you asshole."
My eyebrows rose. That was the first time I'd ever heard the woman curse. "You're right. And I'm so sorry." She offered me a look that clearly told me I was an idiot.
"I'm sorry" doesn't remotely begin to cover this. "You went looking for something you have zero right to know. If I wanted you to know, I would have told you. You had no right."
"I'm sorry, Morgan," I said again. "I'll make it up to you, I swear."
"You can make it up to me by staying the hell away from me."
I felt the blood rush from my face. "Please don't ask that from me."
"I'm not exactly giving you a choice," she spat. "What did you think was going to happen? That I'd say it's perfectly fine that you fly those death traps and we..."
She tilted her head.
"What exactly do you want from me, Jackson?"
"You," I replied, taking a step toward her. "I just want you." Her chin rose.
"I'm not something you can have. Not now, and apparently not ever."
She was pissed and hurt, and I knew there was a chance those words were simply a reflection of those feelings, but damn did they sting. "I know that what you've been through has to make you scared of being with another pilot."
"Don't presume to know my feelings just because you threw Will's name into a search engine," she interrupted. "You might know all about how he died, but that doesn't qualify you to even begin knowing the first thing about him, or the way I feel about him, or you, or anything."
Color flooded her cheeks and her shoulders rose, and fell fast enough that I started to worry about her having another attack. "Fine. Then how do you feel?" I questioned, my voice rising slightly. "Because you never talk about it. You've told me that you don't talk to your best friend, and that you can't open that truck door, but you never go into the why of it. You know everything about me with the exception of how I make my money, and you never give me the same access. You never let me in."
"Let you in? Like I actually want you to see inside this?"
She gestured to her torso.
"What do you want to know, Jackson? That I dream about him every night? That I watch the video he left for me before bed or I can't sleep? That my nightmares are full of the sound of crunching metal and gunshots? But I wasn't there with him, so my mind gives me 1,000 different scenarios."
"Morgan," I whispered, reaching for her. She moved away from my touch.
"You think I'm scared to be with another pilot? I wasn't even with Will. We never got the damned chance. And look how that turned out. I'm not scared of what you do. I'm terrified. I'm paralyzed by anxiety attacks I can't control. And they're so bad that one of my best friends has to live with me until I get through a therapy program for it. The same friend who Skypes with her husband every day because he's flying helicopters in the same fucking country that took the man I loved. And every breath I take is heavy with dread that those fucking uniforms are going to show up at the door for Sam. Is that what you want to hear?
Her voice pitched to a near scream. Yes, I want to know how you feel, and I don't care if it's ugly. I would take whatever she wanted to give me, whatever she was. Her eyes narrowed.
How I feel about you isn't ugly, and that's the problem. I moved here so I could lick my wounds in peace, and you appeared all gorgeous and smart and funny and so damned concerned about me. And you tell me you're in the Coast Guard, and I figure oceanographers can't get hurt in the Coast Guard, right?
I opened my mouth, then shut it again, because anything I said would only dig me deeper into this hole I created, and right now it was the size of the Grand Canyon.
And then you let me get close to you, and Finley, and suddenly I'm waking up again, and I start looking forward to things like seeing you, and I feel happy when I'm around you, and I start to realize that when I'm with you, he isn't with me. And as much as that fucks with my head, I accept it. You push me to start living again, and so I do. And then you take me up a lighthouse, and I kiss you, and it's just...
Her eyes closed as she shook her head, and when she opened them again, she was even angrier.
It's the most incredible kiss I've ever had.
That's not a bad thing. It was incredible for me, too. The best I've ever felt. Hope brought my stomach back into place.
You don't get it. Will was the last person to kiss me. That was supposed to be the best. And then there you are, blowing my mind, and you have the nerve to make me want you.
Her outstretched hands moved with every word. Morgan, I want you too. I've wanted you since I saw you on that beach, and I knew we'd end up here the moment you mocked my barbecue skills and ate that burger anyway. I want you.
Damn you!
She screamed, her eyes filling with tears that caught in the moonlight.
Damn you for making me want you, for making me think I have a shot at being happy again, and then snatching it away because you do the same fucking thing he did.
She pointed at the truck parked 15 feet away, just outside the boathouse.
You do the same thing that got him killed, and I swore I would never put myself in that position again. Never! Not for you, not for anyone!
The first tear spilled over and raced down her cheek.
Don't cry. God, Kitty, don't cry.
I moved toward her, but she walked straight past me, headed for the truck.
Don't touch me. Stay away from me. How could you do it?
She shouted, not even bothering to look back.
How could you make me want you, make me think we have a chance, and then break me into a million pieces? It's not fair, and I hate you for it.
My heart lurched. But there was nothing I could say or do to alleviate her pain. There was an overwhelming chance that the possibility of what we could be might not be enough to outweigh what loving him had cost her. She grabbed the door handle to the truck and flung it open only a few inches before slamming it shut again. Holy shit, she did it. She opened the door.
Why? Why me? Why that fucking helicopter? Why?
She screamed, punctuating each question with another slam of the door. Watching her breakthrough felt a lot like watching her fall apart, and it was so fucking painful that my hand grabbed at my chest. Headlights caught my attention as a car drove down Morgan's driveway, but she didn't stop yelling at me as she abused the door. The car drove past Morgan and parked next to the Mini. It was Sam. She got out and shut the door, then stared, drop-jawed, at Morgan before looking at me. Her gaze darted between us, her head swiveling back and forth like we were a tennis match before she approached me.
You made me want you!
Morgan screamed, slamming the door again.
What the hell did you do?
Sam asked, arching an eyebrow in clear warning as she folded her arms across her chest. I told her I'm a search and rescue pilot for the Coast Guard. I fly helicopters, I told her without taking my eyes from Morgan's rage.
You have got to be shitting me, Sam seethed.
I wish I was. At that moment, I wanted to be anything else. I don't know what to do. Should I go over there? She snorted.
Unless you'd like Morgan to put your head in that doorframe between slams, I'd stay right where you are. Fucking flyboys.
She muttered that last part.
God damn it,
Morgan shouted, throwing her weight into the slams of the heavy door. Stupid fucking helicopters! She doesn't usually swear, Sam noted.
Picked up on that? Think she's picturing me? I questioned, my voice lowering. Every time she slammed the door, my heart felt the impact.
Probably, she shrugged, then sighed, watching her friend.
I never meant to hurt her.
Guys like you never do.
Know a lot of guys like me? I challenged, still staring at the woman I couldn't get out of my head.
A few, she huffed.
Is she going to be all right? Have you seen her do this before? God, I wanted to wrap my arms around Morgan, but I somehow doubted she'd let me comfort her when I was the one who'd hurt her in the first place.
Open the door, or rage out her feelings? Sam questioned.
The feelings. I know all about the door. From the corner of my eye, I saw her look at me like I might not be as stupid as she first thought.
Huh. I'm glad. And no, I've never seen her lose her shit like this. She usually shoves it all inside for fear of hurting someone else with her own feelings. She's an expert emotional masochist.
I watched Morgan rage, seeing it differently with that knowledge. So while she obviously hates me, at least it's good that she's letting it out.
Morgan screamed out her hatred with another slam, proving my point. Did she have an anxiety attack when you told her that you're a pilot?
No. She yelled, a lot, but no anxiety attack that I could tell.
Sam sighed in obvious relief. Then I'd call that tantrum over there progress, and we're just going to wait over here and let that fire burn itself out.
God, she's so pissed at me. I shoved my hands into my pockets.
Yeah. She is.
How could you do this to me? You made me fall for you.
Morgan's voice was turning hoarse from screaming. I sucked in a ragged breath. She'd fallen for me. That had to be a good thing, right? That meant I had a shot.
You let me think we had a chance, and then you yanked the rug. You kissed me, and you told me I was beautiful. You told me we'd try. You promised we'd finally be together, and then you fucking left me. How could you do that to me? How could you die for them and not live for me? I hate you. You ruined my life. I loved you and you ruined me.
Nausea gripped me hard and fast.
I don't think you're the one she's picturing anymore, Sam said softly, squeezing my arm to pull the sting from her words. Why don't you head home? I'll take care of her.
I don't want to leave her. Not like he had. Morgan needed to know that I wasn't the guy who walked away.
That wasn't a suggestion. Go home, Jax. Give her a little space to wrap her head around what you told her. If you can't tell, the last flight boy she fell for shattered her into a million little pieces, and she's still trying to put herself back together.
She squeezed my arm again.
Go. You can't help her right now. And once she calms down and realizes she spent the better part of 10 minutes screaming at a ghost and taking it out on his truck, she's going to be even more embarrassed that you witnessed it.
Logically, I knew she was right, but everything in my body rebelled at the thought of walking up my stairs. I want her, Sam. We have something, and I'm not going to let her go without a fight.
Fight tomorrow, Jax. She's engaged in a whole other battle right now.
She patted my arm and walked toward Morgan, who was still slamming that door like it had personally broken her heart. I ripped my eyes from Morgan and headed for my house. Halfway up my stairs, the slamming stopped. And I turned to see Morgan fall into Sam's arms. Fuck, I could hear her sobbing from here. The sound tore right through my ribs and raked giant gashes down my heart. Sam looked at me over Morgan's shoulder and shook her head. I got the message. Locking every muscle in my body to avoid rushing to Morgan's side, I stood silently and watched Sam lead her up the stairs and into her house. Tomorrow, I would go over and plead my case. My footsteps felt heavy as I trudged up my steps, but I made it. I gave Morgan's door a long, heavy look and then unlocked my own door, so flustered that it took me a couple tries to get the damn thing open. I threw my keys on the kitchen counter and grabbed a bottle of water out of the fridge and twisted the top off. All the alcohol in the world wouldn't help this situation.
It's about time you got here. I've been waiting for ages.
I crushed the bottle in my fist at the sound of her voice, and water gushed over my hand as I whipped around to see her standing at the end of the counter. Clear.
She smirked and tilted her head, her hair falling in soft auburn waves to rest below her shoulders, left bare by the design of her shirt. She was beautiful, but for the first time in the 7 years I'd known her, that beauty didn't stir me. It didn't so much as entice or attract me either. "What the hell are you doing here?" I growled.
"Me?"
She blinked, all innocent, and then her expression changed into a smile that was worthy of all those movies she'd walked out on us for.
"Oh, Jax, I told you I'd come home to you."
Chapter 12. Morgan.
I don't know how to thank you for what you've brought to my life. You were there when no one else was. You pinned those wings on my uniform graduation day, and if the worst has happened, then I pray you use those same wings to fly.
"And those are the new windows they installed this week. Watch this." Sam pointed the laptop toward the windows that now spanned the entire east side of the first floor. "Morgan, press the button," she urged over her shoulder.
"What am I looking at exactly?" Grayson's voice filled the living room, and I couldn't help but smile as I reached for the remote. Sam was always happiest when she got the chance to Skype with him.
"Watch this," I called out, then pressed the top button on the remote Steve had given me 2 days ago. The line of windows split in the middle of the house, the panels retracting and stacking on their individual tracks until the entire wall stood open to the ocean, minus the three support beams Steve swore they could do nothing about. The breeze filled the house,